Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know this way this is to be. This be the master plan. I am JT, a.k.a. the master. And as always, I bring you what's up over the last week and whatever's on my mind. And I always give you some type of different intro. Well, I'm going medieval on you. 10 p.m. on Sunday is the place to be, and I'm playing it like it is. For those who don't know what that is, that's the opening theme song for a show that you should be watching on HBO. If you can't catch it live and in color at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on HBO, if you have HBO as your one of your channels, you can go online at HBOGo.com and watch it. I'm telling you, Game of Thrones is a show you should be watching. Anyway, the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. And that promo was not, that was just because I'm watching this show and I'm addicted to it. I can't get enough of it. Even when it goes off for that night, I still got to watch it again online because it's that good. We're going to be talking about a few things today. We're going to be talking about some boxing. There were some boxing matches going on last night that were real good. I hope you caught them because Danny Garcia and Zab Judah did put on a pretty good show, and I watched that. They also had another boxing match, which was a preliminary, but it really wasn't a preliminary. It was a pretty good boxing match. That was just before Zab Judah and Danny Garcia, and that was Peter Quinlan against Fernando Guerrero, and that all was taking place in Brooklyn, New York, in the Nets arena in Brooklyn, New York. I hope you watched it. That was on Showtime last night, and I'll be talking about that. From Thursday, Friday, and Saturday was the NFL draft. I'm going to be breaking down each team, and I think I'm going to even put a grade on how I think they did. Hey, it is what it is. I mean, I only got an hour show, so hopefully I can get through all 32 teams. And then I'm also going to even talk about the NBA playoffs. Some wild stuff has been happening. Teams you thought would be pushed by the wayside are rising up and not letting these big money, big name teams win out. So we'll see what happens with that. Like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I also have a chat room for your convenience. If you like to listen, talk in the chat room, you can also do that. Because I do that for you. That's how I roll. Anyway, let's get this started, and let's talk about the boxing match that took place last night between Danny Garcia and Zab Judah. For those who did not watch it, you missed a good one. I'm telling you, you missed a good one. That was let me break this down to you. For the first six rounds, I would say, for the most part, Danny Garcia was getting the best of Zab Judah. But from the seventh round on, even though Zab got knocked to the canvas, I think it was the eighth round, when he got up, it was on. It was on. I mean, from about the ninth round, you could see Zab coming on about the ninth round. And in the tenth round, Zab definitely was coming on. In my opinion, he won the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th without a shadow of a doubt. The judges scored at 116, 111, 115, 112, and 114, 112. All three giving Judah the last three rounds, and Garcia seemed to tire a bit. But it was a unanimous decision, and I'm telling you, Zab Judah, every time Zab Judah jumps in the ring, you for the most part, you can be assured of a very good fight. I was frustrated because I'm a Zab Judah fan, and I was frustrated in the early rounds, from the 1 to 6 to 7th rounds, give or take around there, because that seems like Zab wasn't doing his thing. Seemed like he wasn't letting loose. Seemed like I don't know if he was frustrated or what he was doing, but it seemed like he couldn't get his act together until he got knocked down and put down on the canvas. Now, he got rocked in the sixth round. He got stumbled, and Garcia thought he was going to end it there, but Zab kept on his feet and was able to prevail. And came on in the later rounds. It was an exciting fight. Couple times they got an accidental headbutt, but for the most part, this fight was what I expected to watch, and I was very pleased. Even though I thought Zab should have done a little bit more a little earlier, and I think he would have had a better outcome. I think it would probably have been a split decision and more of a chance of him winning the fight versus him coming on late in the 10th and 11th and 12th round. I got a caller in from the 301. Welcome to the Master Plan. Speak your piece, my man.
What's up? What's up, Jerry?
What's up, my man? What's up?
Jerry, last night was just epic. I mean,
yes.
Where do I start? I mean, from there were so many fights on. The basketball games was just off the chain. Last night was just epic. If you are a guy, last night was the wrong night to be out. It was the wrong night to be out, unless you were at the sports bar. But that fight last night, it was a pretty good fight. It was a pretty good fight. I thought that, you know, Zab pretty much reverted back to his old form, but he did show where, you know, how much he's matured by, you know, his mind was still in the fight, because normally that's his problem. You know, once he gas out, you know what I'm saying, his mind is out, and that's it, and then you could take him out, which is how, you know, most of the fighters that have beaten him have beaten him.
Right.
And last night he showed that, you know, he was going to be crafty, and he stayed in and he stayed with it. I just wish he would have did that like 10 years ago. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right,
I
right.
wish he would have did that 10 years ago. But what can I say about Garcia, man? Garcia, I just like that kid. That kid has one hell of a punch. He has
right.
one hell of a punch. And he's got some very good boxing skills as well, so... It was a good fight. I was thoroughly entertained. I was jumping up and down the whole time.
yeah, I hear you, my man. I was doing some of the same. I was like I said earlier, I was a little frustrated with Zab because he took too long. He took to the 10th, maybe the 9th round to get going versus earlier in the fight. And like I said, if he had done that, this thing would have been a closer fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, 116, 111, 115, 112, and 114, 112. Only one judge really had a decent spread. Otherwise, it was a relatively close fight with the other two judges. So that tells you, if he had started earlier, he had a real shot unseating this young boy. So, and I agree with you, that, they talked about it. Commentators talked about Zab being mentally strong, and it seemed like in this fight, he kept to the task from start to finish. So,
right.
And I got to give it to him. I thought he was going to pull it out. I thought he was going to – he rocked him a few times in the – I think it was the 10th or the 11th round. I'm not sure which one it was.
You got a little bit of everything, you know. You know, he even did his little Brooklyn shuffle. He started to do that joke.
Right.
But he didn't go down, you know. So proud of him for that. Kudos to him for that.
Well, he got knocked down in the, 8th round? He threw a left that missed, and Garcia came back with a right hand and sent him to the canvas. So,
but it was one time he got rocked, and he was about to do his little shuffle. You ever see that other fight when he did his little shuffle when he got
knocked
down? Oh yeah.
But it was a good fight. It was an entertaining fight, I think a lot of people. Well, that was in his hometown of Brooklyn. They were chanting. They were screaming his name, man. When he was coming on in the late round.
That definitely was his house. And you know, I'm one of these cats. I'm always fascinated with like backstories and the whole build up to everything. You know, I'm a fanatic about that type of stuff. And
right.
I didn't know that they were fighting in Brooklyn. So you had a natural rivalry going on in Philly. You know what I'm saying? Garcia being from Philly.
Right.
And then you got Brooklyn and the whole, Latino versus black. I mean, you had it all there. I mean, it was good. It was a good fight. It was a really good fight.
It was really cool. It's the type of fight that I wonder what would happen if it won another two or three rounds.
Right.
Because the tide was definitely turning in that fight. Come the 10th round, the tide was definitely good to see it turning. And the young boy, I don't know if he was getting tired or Zab finally decided he finally figured him out. Or he just said, you know what, if I'm going out, I got to go out.
Just not going to take me out here in Brooklyn.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing to lose.
Right.
I don't understand why he ain't fight like that from the beginning.
I'm telling you, man. I don't
know why he wouldn't fight like that 10 years ago. I'm just blown at him.
Well, you know, and one of the things that the commentators had talked about that Zab had changed his life, that he doesn't do any no more nightlife. He doesn't smoke. He's dedicated himself strictly to boxing. I don't know how dedicated he was earlier in his earlier years, but right now. From what I understand, from what the commentators are saying, that he's totally focused on just boxing. He doesn't do any kind of vices at all. So, I don't know what religion he is. I'm not sure about that. So I don't know if that's gotten help to get him mentally strong, along with him dedicating himself strictly to what his craft is. But if unfortunately he's 35 years old. He probably doesn't have too many more years left in the boxing game and too many more fights that's going to be noteworthy that someone's going to give to him. Even though every time, in my opinion, when he comes out to fight, for the most part, Zab gives you a good show. So I don't know where he goes from here. He said he's not going to stop boxing, but I don't know what his next payday would be that would be noteworthy. So
yeah,
it is what it is, so. And I also watched, and I don't know if you watched this guy, and I only watched the brief part of it because I was watching some NBA games, but Kid Chocolate
yeah.
Quinlan.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's taken a page from a small page from Mr. Mayweather, but Kid Chocolate was talking a whole bunch of smack after he beat Fernando Guerrero last night. Did you happen to catch that fight at all? No?
Yeah, I happened to catch a little bit of that fight. He looked like a monster out that joint. He looked like a monster.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the middleweight division, so.
Mm-hmm.
He still got his title. I don't know who I'm trying to think who will be a contender for him. I know that there's supposed to be a fight, what, next week? I think it's next week on Showtime that supposedly whoever wins that fight is going to be fighting or trying to get a fight card with Danny Garcia. And I forget the guys' names that are supposed to be fighting next week. Let me look, see if I can find a schedule on this thing here. Because
they're doing the unification of the, was it Junior Walter Waite?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I forgot the kid's name. Oh, no, I know who it is. It's Lamont Peterson and I forgot the other guy's name. But it's not next week. It's in May.
It's in May. I'm trying to think where the heck is it? Mark Peterson and guys, his name starts with an M.
Yeah, Malagalli or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
He won off a fluke. Lamont Peterson should be able to take him out. He should be able to take him out.
Yeah, I'm looking at May right now, and I can't find it. Shoot.
I think it's like, I want to say like around 13 and around the 19th or something like that. The 19th or the 20th.
Here it is. Lamont PDS, 18th at Atlantic. Oh, it's at Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, right up the street, Slim. Right up the street.
Wow.
Right up the street, homie.
Lamont Peterson versus Lucas Matisse?
Yeah.
Matisse or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
12 rounds for the okay. And they even asked Garcia who he thought was going to win that fight, and he said Peterson. So that may be an added incentive if
cuz they were supposed to fight. Peterson and Garcia. They were supposed to fight.
Oh, really?
But Peterson either got hurt or failed a drug test. I can't remember which one.
Really?
He done so much shit. It don't even make no sense. It's like, oh man, this dude straight from right around my neighborhood, and it's like, oh man, come on.
Is that no kidding?
Yeah. Yeah, he from Capitol Heights.
Okay.
Mhm.
All right. Well, let me go this way now. I wanted to talk about those two fights, let me go to talking about basketball games last night.
Oh man.
Yesterday, I should say.
Oh my goodness.
Let me go to this one first, because I watched this game, and this guy, I don't know how he does it, and it's unfortunately that he is a problem or very difficult to coach because of his attitude and his cockiness, but it could be the Napoleon syndrome with this guy. I'm talking about, oh, my God, I can't remember.
Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson. I'm telling you, he scored, I think, 30-something points yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He put up a fluky shot near the end of the game to tie the game, in regulation. And it, the Brooklyn Nets in Chicago took the Chicago Bulls to triple overtime, 142-134. Chicago is leading the series, 3-1. Brooklyn, you might have to pack your bags. You're going home anyway. You just might have to pack your bags and find out what vacation you want to go on, because it's over.
There was a TV show back in the day for little kids called Where's Carmen San Diego?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Sure.
Well, I want to know where is Darren Williams? when the hell was he at?
Right.
Oh, my goodness, this dude got a max contract, and he was nowhere to be found. And
right.
all of a sudden, Joe Johnson made an appearance.
Right.
He made an appearance. I was like, where you been at, dude? Where
right.
you been? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago wiped out a 14-point deficit late in the fourth quarter to tie
uh-huh.
the game. To tie the game late in the fourth quarter. I mean, how in the world did Chicago win this game? I don't know. I mean, all because of that little dynamo.
Yeah.
All because of that little dynamo.
And Young had told you how he played at the press conference. He was just like, "Man, I just keep shooting. Just keep
mm-hmm.
shooting. Hope they fall, you know. Just keep
mm-hmm.
shooting." You know, because he was just like, man, what I got to lose? You know what I mean? What I got
right.
to lose? If I keep shoot, if they hit, they're going to keep me in there. If I miss, they're going to take me out. So I might
right.
as well keep shooting.
right. Wow. I mean, who would have thought that a guy, I think he's like 5'7", 5'8", somewhere right there. Yeah, I mean, he's an inch taller than I am. And I mean, that's crazy how this guy can do what he does. And he's done it to the Knicks when the Knicks played him just before the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
He wore them out. No, he wore them out to break the Knicks winning streak. He
mm-hmm.
wore Miami out to help break Miami's winning streak. So
yep.
this is not a fluke. This is something that he's not afraid to take the shot. He's not afraid to take these shots. Let me put it that
right.
way. And it can be frustrating at times because he can jack up a lot of crazy shots and frustrate the coach, because I've seen him do it when he was with the Knicks, and I've seen him do it with the Chicago coach, Thibodeau, getting frustrated because he jacks up crazy shots.
Yeah,
even
Doc,
one,
and Doc wasn't having it. Didn't he play for Boston?
Yes, he did. Yes, he
yep.
did.
Yeah. Doc wasn't having that. Doc wasn't having that.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And even the veterans, even Paul Pierce and Garnett at times, I've seen them when they play, that they get frustrated because he jacks up some crazy shots. He jacks up shots instead of passing the ball. So, like I said earlier about him, he's very frustrating to deal with as a coach. But when he's on, you see what you get when he's on. He's
mm-hmm.
he's unstoppable. He's quick as hell. He's got some hops to him. At 5'8", and he's fearless, absolutely
yeah.
fearless. So,
yeah. You just gotta let a dude like that play, man. And it's good that you know he would come off the bench or whatever. But you know, since that other youngin, you know, he's scared of his shadow, so he don't know when he gonna play. But I understand why they got him stuck. But he should come off the bench. But you can't coach that. You cannot coach that. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know. You be like, all right, you know what? I need somebody to just go out here and just be a killer. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of NBA teams that are just soft for no reason. And you know what? The Bulls are jive like that. They need that youngin. They need
right.
that swag. They
right.
need that swag because I look at that team and I don't see nobody else with that swag. Nobody.
You know.
Nobody.
No. You know that. I think I'm trying to think who it was. I think either Derrick Rose and one of the commentators said Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah near the end of the, I forget whatever overtime it was, told. Carlos Boozer, that he's got to step up, and Carlos Boozer told him back that I got you. He pointed to both of them, I got you. But if you noticed, where was Carlos Boozer in this game, especially in overtime? Where was he
uh-huh.
at?
Yeah.
You know, for a guy that's supposed to be such a name and such a big man and key to this team,
mm-hmm.
he he disappears more than Casper the Ghost. I mean, you know, I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, and to me, guy that big is telling me that when the pressure gets on, he disappears. He's not a pressure guy. When the uh-huh. game is not really on the line, he can play. But if it's mm-hmm. pressure, you better not look to him because you're looking in the wrong direction. I don't know yeah. how you feel about that, but I noticed that more than once. Not this year, but more than once over the years.
See, you know what, that's a hard variable for a lot of coaches to deal with. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But
right.
If I were the coach, now you should. A coach should know now. That Thibodeau should know now when mm-hmm. when it's hot, when it's pressure. And you know, and the knife is up against the throat, you know who you need to go to. He
right.
know who he need to go to. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? If the game is tied and, you know, he been shooting off, you know, just go ahead and sit him down or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But when it's real pressure like that, oh, yeah, you put that boy in there and let him go. You just turn him loose. Turn
right.
him loose on everybody. Mm-hmm. I think ESPN made a good comment. He was like, the only player that can scare both coaches at the same time.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Let me move from the Brooklyn Chicago game to a game that I was watching, and this is God's honest truth. I was watching this game, and they were going back and forth, toe to toe. Especially in the third quarter, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. One team would go up a point or two, and then the other team would go up a point or two. I walked away for about, I would say, 10 minutes, and it was into the fourth quarter when I came back. And when I came back, I had to do a double take at the score because I couldn't
mm-hmm.
believe that the Memphis Grizzlies had
yep.
went up by so much against the Los Angeles Clippers. They were up like, I think, 17 or 18 at the time. I'm saying, what
yeah.
the hell happened?
Yeah.
What happened? You know, like I said, I missed that portion of the game. If you watch the game, please inform me on what the hell happened because I couldn't believe that.
Same thing with the Chicago and Brooklyn game. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? You got all these talented dudes. But don't nobody got no balls, Slim. None of them.
Really?
None of them dudes. None
really?
Of them dudes. Yeah,
really?
Man. None of them. And the Grizzlies, they got two dudes that's just going to sit there and bang you and grind you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Zach and that Gasol boy. Oh, man. Let me tell you, that Gasol boy is like that. He
right.
was lights out last night. I mean,
right.
he got this jumper. The Bama don't leave his feet.
You
how
right?
How you not leave your feet when you
right.
shoot the jumper? He
right.
didn't have to. He was just like, all right, I'm standing here. Like, he was playing horse. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what is going on? But he shot the lights out in that joint. He had no problem. He had all heart when he was down there. If he was down in the low post, he took it to him. You know what I'm saying? If
right.
he was behind the three-point line, he shot that joint. You know what I'm saying? And Zach was down there just banging them dudes, just banging them around, banging DeAndre Jordan, banging Blake Griffin, banging
right.
them, banging them soft Bamas. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no Lob City last night, homie.
No
Lob City last
right.
night.
Exactly. And I, you know, to your point, Marc Gasol doesn't leave his feet, and you can be up on him. You can be D'ing him up, and he still gets his shot off. That's crazy when
mm-hmm.
you see that happening. And,
yep.
And he does it from anywhere on the court. It's not like he's stuck down in the paint somewhere. He does it at the foul circle. He does it
yep.
at the three-point line. He's all
yep.
over, and he's not afraid to mix it up down low. So
no,
he's
not.
A handful. I was thoroughly shocked when I came back to this game and saw that Los Angeles looked like they were completely out of it. And Chris Paul was putting up some crazy shots. I guess he was putting shots up just to be putting them up because he was forcing a lot of shots in that game. and nothing was falling. And you can see that. I don't know if Vinny Del Negro is the right coach for these guys, because they looked like they were lost when Memphis made this run and was up. It seemed like they took a lot of steam out of them, and really they didn't really put up a decent fight to try to get back in this game. So that's crazy. Let's move over to this game, and you know what? I don't know what's going on. Like you said, there's some crazy things that have been going on in these games, and one of them is the Indiana against the Atlanta Hawks. I saw this game in the third quarter. I think it was the third or fourth quarter when Indiana had – didn't he have 40 points? They had it was up like the score was like 60 something to 36 or something like that. And I'm like, what? I mean, it was halfway through the third quarter, and I'm saying, you know, I walked up on this game when my wife was watching it, and I'm like, is that right? I'm looking at that. That's the third quarter, and they only have 36 points. This is what the hell? This is Indiana. This is Indiana. Not this is Indiana. Up against Atlanta. Indiana is supposed to be the best defensive team, one of the best in the league on defense. How the hell is this only 36 points they got compared to what Atlanta has? I couldn't figure it out, couldn't understand it. Please enlighten me if you watch this game.
I only caught highlights of that game, you know, because there was so much going on, like I told you, man.
Right.
Between the fights and, I mean, and every one of those basketball games was just wonderful. You know what I'm saying? I only caught the highlights of it.
Wow. I don't know, man. I mean, I looked at this freaking this game, and like, you know what? This is supposed to be the team that's supposed to be going up against the Knicks. Now, the Grizzlies have tied it up 2-2. I think the series is 2-1 with Indiana leading that, but I don't know, man. I mean, I can't. I'm definitely at a loss because I could not believe as bad 69 points, man. 69 points. and
you know your feelings. You know what? I just caught on to something. You and your feelings about that because you like them Bammers.
Yeah. They're an up and coming team. They got a little swag about themselves because they're a young team and they got a lot of talent. They play good defense because their coach preaches defense, and they got some balls on there that can fill the hole up. I can't believe that they only scored 69 points in this game. This is crazy. unbelievable. They scored 30 points in the first half. 30 points in the first half. Come on, man. And this is supposed to be one of the better defensive teams in the league. And Atlanta scored in both the first and second quarter. Atlanta scored 27 points. So at the halftime, it was 54-30. Come on, man. Basically, the game was over at halftime because all you got to do is play half. You know, play even with them. The third and fourth quarter. And you win the game easily, and that's exactly what happened. In the third quarter, Indiana scored 19, Atlanta scored 21. In the fourth quarter, they did a little better. So as the game went on, they did a little better. Maybe if they had six or seven or eight quarters, they probably could have played a little better because the first quarter they scored 14, the second quarter they scored 16, the third quarter they scored 19, and the fourth quarter they finally outscored the Atlanta Hawks 20-15, but the final score was 90-69. Come on, man! Come on!
It was in Atlanta, though, so you know, you gotta get up. You know what I'm saying? Them dudes, you know, they get paid too. So, you know, they just came to play on their court, and they just held court down there in Atlanta. But I don't foresee Atlanta to being able to do that, you know, four more times. I mean three more times. I don't see that happening.
Well,
I don't see that happening.
The problem, and I'm surprised because I'm not a Atlanta Hawk fan, haven't been a Atlanta Hawk fan at all, or don't think too much of the
– Yeah, I forgot they had a team since, Dominique was down there playing.
Yeah, exactly, because every time it seems like Atlanta gets in a pressure situation, and Joe Johnson was part of that for a while, they get in a pressure situation, they crumble like a $2 suit, man. And that's why I'm saying – You figure the Pacers. Now, I'm not saying they were going to take him out in four, but this is a half-ass showing, to say the least. I don't care if you're on the road against it. It's Atlanta Hawks, man. This is Atlanta Hawks. That's a half-ass effort. If you ain't got no offense, you damn sure got to play some defense.
Oh, man, so. You are too funny. You too funny, man. You need to let
anyway,
it go. You need to let it go.
Well, I'm going to let it go now because I'm moving on to the last game I'm going to talk about. Now, we had talked about this before, about Oklahoma City Thunder against the Houston Rockets. And this is the first game they played in the playoffs without Russell Westbrook. And everyone in God's country said Kevin Durant needed to score 40-plus in order for the Thunder to win the game. Well, you know what he did. He scored 41, 14
right.
rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. And they won the game only by 3 points.
Right.
Now – that was in Houston. Now, I'm looking at the box score. I'm looking at the points. Ibaka scored 17 points, and Reggie Jackson, who was the point guard taking Russell Westbrook's place, scored 14 points and had, wow, 1 assist, and he's the point guard. Wow. And Kevin Durant had the most assists. They only had 4, 5, 6, 9. What? They had double digit. They had 14 assists.
Mm-hmm.
But they had nobody even come close to double digit assists. And your point guards, I should say, only had 1 assist apiece. That's Derek Fisher had 1. Reggie Jackson had 1. That's bad. Your point guard is supposed to be distributing the ball. That's mean that you're relying on giving the ball to somebody and them having to make a basketball.
But none of them dudes is facilitators, man. You know, Kevin, unfortunately, Kevin's going to have to – he's going to have to go through what – LeBron went through because he looks eerily similar to LeBron now to me.
Mm-hmm.
Eerily.
Mm-hmm.
Very much similar. And it's scary to me because, man, I love Kevin Durant. You know, he a D.C. dude. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, and I went hard on LeBron. And I'm just
sure
like, man, I can't
do
it to Kevin, but – he has got to facilitate. He has got to learn how to facilitate that team. He got to. He had to. He had to do it as much with a dude like Westbrook did, because Westbrook gonna take his. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? He just gonna take it. You know what
right.
I'm saying? All he gotta do is just be there. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, be him. You know what I'm saying? Chill and do the things he's been doing. But see now. Now he got to carry it on his shoulders. He got to facilitate it. He got to, you know, he got to pass it. He got to rebound it. He got to get down there and block. He got to work. He got to go to work. Not saying that he wasn't working. You know what I'm saying? With Westbrook there, he could just focus on, you know, being a scorer, maybe coming in there and blocking every now and again, catching a couple rebounds here and there. But now, he got to facilitate that. He got to facilitate that mob. And those Bammers got to step up. I thought Ibaka played his ass off last night. I am really surprised at him. Him and the other little light-skinned Bammer. What's his name?
Kevin Sevaloka.
Sevaloka.
Yeah, Sevaloka is a very good defensive player too.
That's his claim to fame. But you know, during these last little runs, I've been watching him. He been knocking down that tray. He's been knocking it down. But Ibaka is now, you know, posting folks up and doing the turnaround fall away jumper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's hitting them sometimes. So it is going to be key for those three dudes to step up, Martin, Sepulocha, and definitely Ibaka. You know what I'm saying? And Kevin has got to figure out a way to facilitate to make it happen for them dudes. And they got to knock down them shots. If they don't, it's gonna be rough for Kevin.
Well, that's one of the things I was talking about yesterday. That because Russell Westbrook is a facilitator, he distributes the ball out. Even though he takes a lot of shots, he does distribute the ball. And now they don't have that. Now that they don't have that type of guy, and you're saying that it's gonna fall on KD. Now KD, like you said, KD. He's never done that. I mean, he's not that type of dude. He's always been facilitated too, not be the facilitator too.
Exactly.
So, for this to happen, I don't know, man. I mean, this could be. It was the first game in Houston, if I'm not mistaken, it's the first game in Houston, we'll see what happens, man. I'll be surprised that. I'll be surprised. I won't be surprised they get past Houston. But the next level, and I don't know, man. I thought it was going to be Memphis or I thought it was going to be Clippers. Now I don't know.
It's going to come down to who won it, man. And the Jones is wide open now.
It's wide open.
That dude Westbrook, that move Bradley made on Westbrook, yo, he shook the whole Western Conference with that move. The joint is wide open. It just depends on who won it. I don't think the Spurs got the experience, you know what I'm saying, and Pop is a good coach, you know what I'm saying, so that they'll be able to craft their way through, but I don't think they got that, none of them got that heart, that eye like they need it. I mean, Timmy, he can't do it like he used to. Nah, man, he can't do it like he used to. You know what I'm saying? He need Tony Parker. And Tony don't – he look like a shell of himself. So does Ginobili. So, I ain't banking on them. Not banking on them. I like Golden State, but that youngin needs some more help. They need some that injury to that dude. What's his name? The big guy, the power forward. They four. What's his name?
You're talking about David Lee.
Yeah, David Lee. Yeah, that hurt them. That hurt them bad. That youngin needs some more help. Curry needs some more help down there. But I like what Mark Jackson is doing with them. And, you know, I like the way that younger play because I like the way he shoot. The Clippers, you know, Long City could do it if one of them dudes just be like, yo, we just go, man, just if one of them dudes would get an ounce of what Nate Robinson had last night, they could take a championship. They could take a championship, but it's not in none of them dudes' DNA. The only one that come close. Is maybe Chris Paul, and he done softened up. He done softened up since he left college, man. He was a little thug in college. But he ain't a thug no more. I don't know what happened. He done got Hollywood there.
I was going to say that. You think this guy's been reading a lot of the press clippings and think it's just going to come to him and not have to put in the work to overcome what the odds.
During this generation has developed into something totally different.
Right.
You know, it's not even a thing that they believe the hype no more. I think these youngins are just, they're coddled so much that,
right.
You know, I don't even think that they know what they doing or how they doing it. Because if they really knew, they really knew, man, they would just be down, man. You would see elbows. You would see, you know, monstrous dunks all the time. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? You would see that thugness and it just be like, nah, I'm just going to take it. You know what I'm saying? The last play of the Super Bowl should really, really, really accentuates my point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Ravens was just like, yo, forget this. We taking this.
Mm-hmm.
These dudes
right.
don't want it. You know what I'm
right.
saying? I don't see not one team that's willing to do that. And it's only one team in the league that already know how to do that. And that's the Heat. That's
okay.
the Heat.
You are thoroughly on
see.
This bandwagon, man. I am really surprised that you are so much on the Heat bandwagon now.
Look, I wish there was somebody else. I wish somebody else would come through and just be like, yo, I'm taking this. And
mm-hmm.
show it on a nightly basis. I'm taking this. And then I would be like, yo, these dudes going to take it. But I don't see it.
Wow.
I don't see it.
Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of elbows, because of somebody from the Knicks, J.R. Smith threw an elbow, he's suspended for game four. So today, I think they're playing today. Today, the Knicks are going to be playing in Boston without J.R. Smith for one game. What do you think of their chances without J.R. Smith? And I think this is one of the teams that are primed to give Miami a good run. When and if they come up against them in the finals, what do you think about just tonight? Just what do you think of today? What do you think about the?
It's gonna
the
be good. I think it's gonna be a good game. You know, Carmelo gonna have to carry the load, but he's more than willing to do it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Because Carmelo got a lot to prove. You know what I'm saying? He got a lot of critics, and
mm-hmm.
and you know they were talking about how. You know, when he was at the All-Star game this year, and all of the superstars, they had different little badges on and whatnot. You know, Kobe had his championship jumps on, and you know, others had scoring titles and stuff. And Carmelo doesn't have any of that stuff. He don't have at that time he didn't. He didn't have a
right.
scoring title. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have any championships, no conference championships, none of that stuff. He had
right.
none of it. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
He's hungry. So
mm-hmm.
I would give a slight edge to New York, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't count Boston out because them dudes is crafty. You know what I'm saying? They real crafty. They old school. You know what I'm saying? I like Kevin Garnett and I like Pierce. You know what I'm saying? The Doc is just, you know, he's a very good coach. I wouldn't count them out. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game to watch, and it's going to be a good game to watch to see how much Carmelo has matured and if
mm-hmm.
he's going to be able to take this. You know what I'm saying? If he's
right.
going to be able to take it.
Well, that's just like, even though it's just for one game, though, it's just like losing a key piece and a key scoring piece on your
oh,
team.
Yeah.
It's like just like OKC. So
mm-hmm.
It's quite naturally, it's who's going to step up in J.R. Smith's spot, for one.
Somebody going to have to step up.
And also, Carmelo knows that he's got to shoulder more of a scoring load because...
Yeah, he need about 50. He need about 50 tonight.
Okay. That's the first game, 1 o'clock game. There's four games on tonight. New York at the Boston is on ABC, and then I don't even know if we need to talk about this one because I think this is a closeout game in Milwaukee in four. Miami at Milwaukee at 3:30 on ABC. That's the second doubleheader on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to talk about that?
Nah, we don't need to talk about that, Joe.
Okay. Okay. How about we move on to this one? San Antonio at the Lakers. And from what I understand
Steve Blake
is not going to be playing. Steve Nash is not going to be playing.
We all hurt, Slim. We done.
And from what I would believe that if these players felt they had a shot, they probably would find a way to play. But I think that the writing's on the wall, and along with D'Antoni, I think these guys don't go running through a wall for Mike D'Antoni. They just play to be playing because they're obligated to play and play. D'Antoni is not the type of coach that I think inspires guys to want to run through a wall for him.
No, he's not.
And I got to believe that once they get closed out today, and I truly believe they're going to get closed out today by San Antonio, that Mike D'Antoni's days are numbered in L.A. How do you feel about that? You're a Laker fan, right? So I'm a Laker fan.
I definitely would like to see D'Antoni gone. Because the dude just does not know how to coach, man. He is just an absolute idiot. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden now, you know, he sees the value of Gasol and Howard down low. I don't understand that, man. I just didn't understand that. The moment that Howard came, that's the first thing I'm thinking. Oh yeah, Gasol, Howard, and Kobe. That's it. That's all Kobe needs right there. You know what I'm saying? Let them dudes bang down there, and Kobe facilitated down there or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And give Howard some heart or whatever. And you know, and it was working at first. You know, but then this dude just benches Gasol and you know, and then try to put it all on Gasol being hurt and all this other kind of carrying on. I'm like, nah, man, nah. So it's really gonna depend on which way Bus Jr. is gonna play this out, man. And it don't look good. It don't look good. You know what I'm saying? I don't foresee Kobe, you know, coming back immediately. If he does come back, you'll be lucky to see him after the All-Star break, because that's a serious injury, man. That is a serious injury. And a lot of folks don't come back the same when they had that injury, you know. I hope all the best for him, and I hope he does come back, but come back to what? You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to retool and rebuild, and they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Howard, Gasol, Meta. You know, they've got to figure this out. They have got to figure this out, and I am not confident with Bus Jr. up in there, man.
I'm really not sold on him. I'm really not. I have to totally agree with you because he ran for the most part. He ran Phil Jackson out of L.A. With his attitude, I guess his ego, rather than have Phil Jackson take all the credit, I think he wanted to be able to take credit from that. And I don't know if it's a running feud because Phil Jackson is dating his sister, but I don't know, man. I mean, you know, if you got a successful coach and he's doing the things that the team needs done to get to win championships and win and be in the playoffs, it makes no sense to me. But I mean, it's just like you know, get guys in certain situations, just like in Dallas at one point with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Jerry wanted to be able to take the credit more, and Jimmy Johnson was actually the guy that was doing all the work and making the franchise successful. But Jerry Jones wanted to be the man in the spotlight and wanted to take all the credit, and he couldn't do that with Jimmy Johnson sitting there. So I'm the owner, just like Jim Buss is the he's the owner now. He's gonna push out the head coach and put in somebody else in there, thinking that this is a well-oiled machine. I don't need this coach. I could put any coach in there, and we'll still have the same success. Well, since
they've got to build that thing from the ground, start next year.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, it's proven out in both situations. You throw out the coach that's been doing all the work, putting all the work in, and being able to have the franchise be very successful. And thinking, well, I'm the owner. I can put any coach in there, and it'll run itself because I control this, and I get the players in there, and it'll take care of itself. And it's obviously you need a good head coach to be able to deal with the players and put the players in the best position to maximize their skills.
Right.
And you need
a very good GM. You need a very good GM and a very good coach. And Buss Jr. is neither. You already got Kupchak. Kupchak ain't no slouch. At first, I wasn't feeling him, but now I'm just like, he better than Buss Jr. Buss Jr. All you need to do is sign the check and wear your Laker rings. That's all you gotta do, man.
Exactly.
All you gotta do.
Just like his dad was doing. Just like he put guys in place, and you guys do your thing. I'm just the owner. Just give me some rings so I can put on my finger. That's all.
Right. That's all he was doing.
Yeah.
Did you see that that Magic and Bird documentary? I mean, Magic was talking about Buss like, he just introduced me to all these women. This, that, and the third. It was like Magic was talking like Buss turned him out. I was like, wow, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And from what I understand, his son is the exact opposite of that, and that's a problem. That's a problem.
Right.
So
especially there in L.A., that micromanagement stuff ain't gonna work out there, man.
No.
Just hire the right people, and then go get you a bottle of champagne and chill, Slim. That's all you gotta do.
All right. Let me move on to the final game. We got a couple minutes left in the show here. And this is going to be a very exciting game, and I'm glad they left this last 9:30 p.m. on TNT. The first two games are on ABC, 1 and 3:30 respectively. The next two games are on 7 o'clock on TNT, and this is on 9:30 p.m. TNT. Denver at Golden State. Warriors lead this, 2-1. And they're playing the second game in Golden State. This is going to be an extremely exciting game. No-name players for the most part in Denver, and some very young, exciting players playing
all
in Golden State.
All up-and-coming youngins is in this game.
Yes.
All up-and-coming youngins is in this game. The Curry's two-guy in this game. I didn't know who he was, but that Bama could shoot. I keep forgetting his name, but they look like brothers. They look like brothers.
Stephon Curry?
His two-guard. The two-guard for Golden State. Curry. Curry's the point.
I think you're talking about Ryan Thompson?
Youngin'.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
If those dudes get on a roll, it's over. The game is over.
Yes.
Game over. Because they will shoot your lights out.
Right.
Shoot your lights out. The first game that they won, when they were just shooting unconsciously, I had a ball watching that game.
Mm-hmm.
I was thoroughly entertained because. You know, if you're a basketball purist, you know what I'm saying, and you like pure shooting, you know what I'm saying, fundamentals, you know what I'm saying, those dudes did it. They executed well. You know, then you throw in a couple of crossovers here and there, a couple of fluke shots, but you still got You still got a sweet, you know, stroke. Oh my goodness. I know I've been on here yakking about Golden State. I like Golden State. I really do. I like that mob. I like Stephon Curry. I don't think that they're gonna. I don't think that they're going to the championships. They may pull this one out, just depending on how they play tonight. You know what I mean? They may go up 3-1, and I hope they do it, man. I hope they do it. I'm be pulling for them.
You know what? I probably watched the first game tonight, today I should say, and because I want to see what happens between Quentin Aston, my Knicks, and Boston. Hopefully they close them out 3-0. It really doesn't make sense for me to watch Miami at Milwaukee or San Antonio at L.A.
Yeah, I ain't watching that.
Because I think both of those are foregone conclusions. But to end the night, before I say night-night tonight and put my head to the pillow, I'm definitely going to watch Denver and Golden State because this is going to be, for the most part, a very exciting series with, like you said, some young players coming and playing. And you never know what type of game you're going to get. Golden State. But if, like you said, if they're on, it's a sight to see. It's definitely a sight to see how well somebody can shoot the ball, and different variety of shots: three pointers, layups, two pointers, all kinds of variations of shots. Ryan Thompson, Stephon Curry can fill it up when they're on. So I hear you there. I definitely hear you.
Not to discount Denver, because them boys like to dunk. Them boys like to get out there. They like to shoot. They like to run, and they like to dunk. I like that youngin' Farid. He is nice, and of course JaVale McGee is nice if he could get on. You know what I'm saying? Then you got Iguodala, but he's not really a shooter. He's more of a facilitator, more of a slasher type dude. Then you got the other older guard is
Anthony Miller.
Andre Miller. Yeah, he can fill it up.
Ty Lawson starts at the point, then Andre Miller comes in.
Right. Yeah, he can fill it up too.
Oh yeah.
He can fill it up too, so it's going to be a good game to watch. If you're a basketball purist and you like offense and you like to watch them shoot, that's the game you want to watch.
Exactly. And I'm going to be right in front of the screen watching it from start to finish. That's one game I'm definitely going to be watching to end the night. With that being said, Mikal, I want to thank you for joining me this morning and making the conversation what it was. With that, I'd like to ask you if you have any closing remarks before I get the hell on out of here.
Man, you know how hard it is to get up early on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know.
I honestly wake up late on Sundays. I don't normally get up till about 11:30 or 12 o'clock.
Wow.
But I was that's how I do it on Sundays. That's why I be missing your show. But look, it was so much going on last night. I had a ball watching TV last night.
Yeah,
I kept flicking the channels, going back and forth, was on the laptop looking at the draft and looking at the game, jumping up and down, watching, man. It was wonderful last night. It was wonderful.
Well, let me tell you this, and I meant to tell you earlier. My wife came down as the show was starting, okay? And ran down and pointed to the TV, and I had to peek around the corner, and she told me that the Garcia Judah fight was on. So I just recorded it. It's 2 minutes. It's into the 12th round right now on Showtime, and I'm going to watch it again sometime again today. So
check it out. It was a good fight.
I saw it once, but I want to see it again because I wanted to go a little further. Unfortunately, they don't have fights that go 15 rounds anymore. They all go 12.
Who you telling, man? I want to see a 15-round fight. I want to see some dudes punish themselves.
Right.
I want to see it.
Right. Because I felt if this fight went 15 rounds, Garcia had a good shot of losing this fight. So,
he would have lost that fight.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of fighters that would have lost a lot of fights if they were 15 rounds.
Yeah.
Championship rounds don't start till the 12th round.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And both these guys were bloody, man. Their faces were bloody at the end of this fight.
Oh, yeah. They were nice and bloody. It was nice and bloody. But like I said, you know, if Judah would have took it to him earlier than the eighth round when he started taking it to him, or ninth round whenever he started taking it to him, he could have won this fight.
Oh, yeah. All right, you got anything that you want to say before we out of here, man?
Nah, man. You have a good Sunday, and relax yourself and chill out. And I'll catch you Thursday.
Okay. Well,
And if I don't get to talk to you, bro, you have a happy birthday.
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? And I hope that you know, all your blessings and all the prayers that you receive in your life and today and tomorrow are all just wonderful for you, bro. I really do.
Same back to you, my man. With that being said, I guess I'm going to have to DVR because I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to DVR the show I've been pumping up. They should be paying me some money for this pumping up this show because...
Hey, look, tell the truth.
What's
your
that?
Old lady got you hooked on that Game of Thrones, didn't she?
No. I started watching it just by chance. I happened to see a preview on it a few seasons ago, and I started watching it from the beginning. I think I watched it the second episode or third episode and realized you could get the previous episodes online. You can watch them.
Uh-huh.
So I watched the third episode of the first season, and I'm like, I was hooked. I say, you know what? And I've been telling people about this for the longest. This is the third season. I've been telling people about this for the longest. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but it was.
No,
awesome.
I haven't watched it, but a lot of my folks over at GSRT are always talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta watch something like that. I gotta watch all of them. You know what I'm saying?
What?
I gotta watch all of them. I can't do that. You know how we used to do back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Wait till next week, all that kind of stuff, and be on edge for a week. Oh no, man, I can't do that no more.
Right.
I can't do that no more.
I
gotta sit down like for a whole day or two or a weekend and watch two or three seasons worth. I think they're on the third season now. So
yes,
I'll probably go ahead and start watching. I'll probably try to catch that first season. But my first season it's not on my Comcast on demand, but the second season is there. So
oh,
I gotta
right?
go find the first I gotta go find the first season.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, for all who's listening to me, I've been talking about this show for the last few shows. I've been meaning to talk about it for quite a while now, and I really caught the bug. Not just say I really caught the bug, but I really was thoroughly impressed with this last show last Sunday. That I'm pumping this show up extremely a lot because the fact is this is off the hook. I'm telling you, it's back in the day. It's way back in the day,
right?
And I'm telling you, if you watch this show, you become addicted to it. It's got so many plots to it and so many storylines. You have to watch it. You have to go and try to get the first episode, season. Watch that. Watch the second season. Watch that to get you up to speed of what's going on. But you won't be disappointed at all. At all. Game of Thrones, HBO, catch it. DVR it if you have HBO, and if you do have HBO and you want to see those series, you go back on hbogo.com, catch season 2, find a way you can find season one, start it from the beginning, and bring you up to present. I'm telling you, I open the show with the theme song, and I'm closing it out with the theme song. I would appreciate that. Thank you for listening today. Catch you 2 weeks from today, because I won't be around on Cinco de Mayo, which happens to be my birthday, a week from today. So you won't catch JT, a.k.a. the Master, on Cinco de Mayo Day, a.k.a. my birthday, but 2 weeks, which would be the 12th, is when I'll be back on Sunday. Till then, take care. God bless. I'm out.